Now, first of all, let us try to describe, let us try to characterize the reactive mind. This is, of course, the mind with which we are very familiar. We carry it around with us all the time, and we use it all the time, or at least most of the time. This is what we use, the reactive mind. Or we may even say that it's not so much that we use the reactive mind. It's rather the reactive mind which all the time is using us, which has us at its mercy. We are, as it were, most of the time, slaves of this reactive mind. And some people, of course, reactive mind, unfortunately, functions all the time. Now, these people, one may say, well, they're not really human. I call them just humanoid. Now, what are the characteristics? What are the characteristics of this reactive mind, or this mind when it is functioning reactively? Well, to begin with, the worst thing that you can say about the reactive mind is that it is reactive. This condemns it or exposes it straight away. The reactive mind does not really act. The reactive mind only reacts. In other words, it doesn't function spontaneously. It doesn't function. It doesn't work. It doesn't operate or manifest out of its own inner fullness. It doesn't, as it were, burst forth. It requires some external stimulus, some provocation, as it were, to set it going, to set it in motion. And usually, for most of us, this stimulation, this provocation comes in one way or another through the five senses. Just imagine, or just recollect, you're walking along the road, just idly, for the most part, perhaps unawarely, just walking along, you happen to look around and your eye catches a very vividly coloured and attractively phrased advertisement. So at once what happens? Your mind is captured by this, and you react. You don't know most of the time what you are doing. You're not aware of what is happening. And a reaction arises, usually one of greed or interest, craving, something of this sort, depending on what you've seen with or through the eye, the organ of sight. So we can therefore say that the reactive mind, because it is reactive, is a conditioned mind. It's conditioned by its object. We see the advertisement, that automatically the craving arises. It doesn't come, as it were, from within spontaneously. Even that would be something. But it's prompted, it's activated, stimulated from without. Is conditioned by its object. So the conditioned mind is not free. This is another very important characteristic of the reactive mind. The reactive mind is not free. We are not free so long as we merely react instead of just acting. And because the reactive mind is conditioned in this way, conditioned by its object or a series of objects, the reactive mind is also, we may say, a mechanical mind. Sometimes I describe it, therefore, as the penny in the slot type of mind. That is to say, you insert a coin in the machine, in the slot, and out comes a package of peanuts or cigarettes or whatever it may be. So most of our so-called thinking is of this type. There's a stimulus from outside, in one way or another. A penny is put on in the slot, and we respond. We react. And most of our thinking, our so-called thinking, is of this reactive type. For instance, suppose you take this question of politics. Suppose you belong to a certain party. Well, obviously the party has conditioned you to think in its own way. So you open your favourite morning newspaper. If that's the newspaper which is somehow connected with your party and reflects its views, well, as soon as you open it, you react favourably, without thinking. If it's of another type, if it's connected with some other political viewpoint, you react unfavorably. It's just a reaction. The penny is put on in the slot, out comes the package, out pops the package. This is what happens most of the time. We're conditioned in this way and react in this way. We very rarely think for ourselves. Most of our thinking, practically all our thinking, is reactive thinking. Not just, as it were, inspired by something from without, taking it as a point of departure, but fully and totally determined by the impact of external sensations, stimuli, perceptions, even ideas, and so on. So it's a terrifying, it's a staggering thought that we may even say that in the course of our whole lives, sometimes we have not a thought which is really our own. Nothing which we really originated from within. Nothing to which we have really spontaneously given birth from the depths of our own being. Every idea, every thought, even our so-called ideologies, even our so-called religion, it all comes, as it were, from without. And our so-called religiosity, very often, is just a reaction, a religious type of reaction, admittedly, to external stimuli, but still a reaction. And still, therefore, of the conditioned mind, the relative mind. So this is what happens to most of us, most of the time, if not all the time. There's an absolute paucity in most of us of original thought on any subject whatsoever. Of course, we know some people try to be original, and they think that originality consists in being different from other people. But real originality consists in producing something out of one's own inner resources. It doesn't matter whether it coincides with what somebody else produced 50 or 100 or 1,000 years ago. That's quite irrelevant. If we produce it from our own inner resources, it's spontaneous and it is original. But some people, as I've said, try to be different. But this is only another kind of reaction, only another kind of conditionedness. If you try to be different, as well, if you try to not to react, this is itself reactive. So it can be a subtle form of conditionedness, because still determined by the object. You are determined by the object, or conditioned by the object from which you are trying to be different. So you're still reacting. You have your eye on the object. You're not really acting out of your own inner fullness, your own inner depth. Now, the reactive mind is also a repetitive mind. The reactive mind tends to do the same things over and over and over again. That's another reason why it's like a machine. It gets the same stimuli, the same old newspaper open, the same weather, or whatever it may be, and it reacts in the same way. And in this way, the whole of life becomes a matter of a sort of routine. You just go on mechanically functioning, just like a machine, chug, 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 chugging away. And this is one's life. And if we're not careful, we see that a very tragic thing happens, and that is that even our religious life becomes incorporated in the routine, becomes part of the machine. We get into a sort of religious habit, and there's just the same reactive mind functioning, but a portion of it, or a particular part of its functioning, is labelled religious. We can see this happening when our life and our activities fall into two rigid patterns. As I said the other evening, well, some people think like this: well, Monday I go to the cinema, Tuesday I go and have lunch with my grandmother, and Wednesday I go to the meditation class. And this is how it goes on. It becomes incorporated into the routine. And you feel something uneasy if you haven't fulfilled that little bit of your routine. It's just become a pattern, just become a habit. It hasn't become anything real and living, which you do, as it were, afresh each time. So with all our religious activities, our religious life, we have to be careful that they don't become part of the pattern. They don't become part of the routine. And this is, of course, a great danger to all of us who are trying to fit in a lot of activities, even religious activities, into a very small and very narrow timetable. We tend to try to regularize them, do this on that day and something else on another day, and yet something else on a third day. But in this way, it all becomes incorporated into a pattern, into a mechanical, machine-like sort of repetition. And it becomes, in this way, as I've said, reactive. But I'll have more to say about this danger, perhaps a little later on. But above all characteristics of the reactive mind, it must be said that the reactive mind is the unaware mind. This is perhaps its most important characteristic from our point of view. Most people, most of the time, are unaware. That is to say, most people, most of the time, are really asleep. This might surprise you, this might even astound you, to be told that you are asleep. But actually, this is what is happening. I won't go so far to say that you are dead. Some people do even go as far as that. But certainly, all asleep. In a sleep you come here, in a sleep you sit here, in a sleep you listen to the lecture, in a sleep even you meditate, but it's all sleep. Because awareness, full, pure, bright awareness, is not there. So we have to start with this truth, with this realization, that most of the time we are in fact asleep. And if you're at all spiritually perceptive, if you're at all aware yourself, if you look round at other people, you can see that they are asleep. Their eyes may not be closed. They may be talking, maybe laughing, maybe playing, maybe doing all sorts of things, but they're doing it, as it were, somnambulistically. They're like puppets, as it were, pulled and jerked by strings. They're not really aware, so they're not really alive. They're not awake. So it's with the awareness, we may say, that we are not aware that the spiritual life begins. When we become aware of how conditioned we are, how reactive our minds are, how we're just like tiny puppets jerked all the time by these strings and wires, how we've no freedom, how we don't originate anything freely, spontaneously, creatively. When we become aware of our own reactive nature, aware of our own unawareness, as I've said, then there is the beginning of the spiritual mind. Then we may say not only spiritual life, but even human life begins. One is not really human until one has at least a modicum, at least a seed, at least a shoot of awareness. It's that which really differentiates us from the animals. We may be well fed, we may be well clothed, we may watch the television set every night, but if we don't have awareness, then we're not really human after all.